Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so incredible for Mary and me to be here with you. It's thrilling, as Mark was saying, we've lived in a lot of different places, and some of those places have been incredibly isolated. And when in Afghanistan, where there was only just a few people there, a few disciples, when Mark was there, when we moved there, I think the maximum amount of disciples that we had at one time was about 7. And this was 5 years like this, you know. So there's just not very many people. And we would go back to the United States and come to a church like this, and they would sing these songs, and we would just weep because we love to sing. We love to sing parts, and we love to worship. And when you only have 7 people, it gets a little tough. It doesn't really match it, as hard as you try. And now we live in China, and we're in a church that's about 150 people, but there's only 3 foreigners there that speak English, and we don't speak Chinese, and so we're just completely isolated. And they sing the songs, and even common songs, it's in Mandarin, and you try to remember the English words, and you go, I can't figure out which the words are. How can I forget this? I've been singing these songs for years. And so I walk in here. I walked out there when they were practicing, and it made me cry. I listen to these songs, and it just makes me weep because we're expressing our love for God. And I really, really appreciate those who serve in the singing, but that's really all of you. All of us do that. It is our tradition, and I really, really appreciate it very, very much. Thank you, Mark and Vicki. You're the reason why we're visiting here today. We have, as we said, lived in different places, and we've lived in China for about 3.5 years. And we're getting ready to go back to the United States, and we'll go to Kathmandu, Nepal before we go back. But once you get back into the United States, I thought, we'll never get back to Australia. We better do it now. We've got to go now. And so we just figured it out as a way to come and visit with all of you. And we've visited some of the disciples in Sydney as well. And I'm just so proud of you. It wells up in me to realize that all over the world we have disciples just like you.
Amen.
People who love God and who want to follow God and want to change other people's lives as well. And one of the nice things that has happened in Mary's in my life in living in different cultures is we realize that I'm not really American. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And I don't really look at things any longer as an American would look at things. I have more of a global view because I've been in so many different cultures. I can't just say, okay, well, the American way is the best way. And a lot of people about their own culture, you get very prideful and you say, well, this is the best way because this is what we do. But there isn't just one way. Even there isn't just one way to sing a song or to have a prayer or to worship or to help each other. And to be a citizen of the world, that's what Jesus was. He wasn't just a Jew. He wasn't just an Israelite. He was a citizen of the whole world because he loved everybody. Today, what I want to share about is that Christ's love is what needs to compel us. It needs to make us be something different than what you would if you didn't have Jesus. It compels us. And so I want to start out. I want to read this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. I left my computer in Guangzhou, China, and it was a mistake because I didn't make a PowerPoint put up here or anything like that. So I'm just going to read some scriptures. So here's the struggle. You know, you can't just read it you might have to actually look at a Bible. I know it's a novel idea. Or you can look on your phone. You know, you get your Bible on your phone now, so that works. This is probably one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die." You're dead because of Jesus. "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's an incredible challenge. And this is one of those statements in Corinthians that is very general, because there's a lot of things in the first and second Corinthians, they're very detailed to the problems that were there in Corinth. You know, your church has got problems, right? You say yes. Okay. Yes. All the churches have different kinds of problems, and the letters that are written directly to those problems. But then Paul and the other writers will say, here's something that's really just true. The love of Christ is what needs to compel you. That's what needs to move you, that you love Christ and he loves you and you're dead to this world and now you've got a whole new life to live. And that's tough to figure out, okay, how can I really be in this world but not of this world? I don't have to be like everybody else. I could be something for God. And figuring out what controls me. In our world today, it's so easy to be controlled by money and success and even wanting to be connected with other people and our devices. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, I'm 66 years old. You know, I'm an old timer. Sorry about that, teens over here. You know, I'm 66 years old. I'm an old timer. I do have a real phone. It actually works. No, I turned it off before I got up here. In China, you get on the metro, the subway, and 85% of the people are like this. Their phone is right here, and they would just die if they lost their phone. Can you imagine that? What if you lost your phone? What would you do? You know, got a whole 24 hours that you don't have a phone. You don't know what to do. And so often, these kinds of things that are modern conveniences, it controls our life and it pushes us this way and it pushes us this way. And pleasing other people pushes us this way and wanting to get some pleasure and it pushes us this way. This is not what God really wants. God wants us to be controlled by his love and what he did and how he cared for other people. And that's tough. It's not easy to be like Jesus. And one of the nice things that has happened to Mary, we've been around long enough that we've made actually almost all of the mistakes. I think there's a few more that we can make, but we've made most of the mistakes that in your life that you could make. And we're still here.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that great? We're still here. And so often you let the world just beat you down. You're always going to have sin. You're always going to fail on what you think you need to be because you're not perfect.
Yep.
But when you do fail, where does it take you? What does it do to your heart? Where does it change you? Did you learn something? And are you different today than you were before? I know so many people kind of say, oh, yeah, those were the days. You ever heard that? You ever said that? Oh, yeah, man, those were the good times. Mary and I were both converted when we were in university. So right as I got there, we were both 18 years old when we got baptized. There was still water behind our ears. We were wearing diapers at the time, I think. We didn't know our right arm from our left arm, which one. We didn't know anything. And it was 1971. It was the Vietnam War. There was hippies. There was so much pot being smoked. Naked people ran across the university. What did they call that?
Streaking.
It was weird. It was strange. And somehow God said, hey, come on over here. Get out of that. And God grabbed us at that tender age. And so I look at you that are young here right there. I understand. I get it. It's because this is when we first learned about Jesus. I knew nothing about Jesus before that. And God brought me in at that tender age. But you think about 48 years. I was baptized 48 years ago. Mary was baptized 47 years ago. That's a lot of time to make lots of wrong decisions. There's a lot of bad things that can happen in that amount of time. And yet we kept getting up. And God kept changing us and teaching us how to be closer to God. And so I look back and say, wow, that time in Gainesville.
We were converted in a church called the 14th Street Church of Christ. It's the mainline Church of Christ. At the time when we were baptized, there was another building that was being built. It was called the Crossroads Church of Christ. It was the building. So the name changed from 14th Street Church of Christ to the Crossroads Church of Christ. So we were pre the Crossroads Church of Christ, if you've ever heard that name before. And from that, hundreds and hundreds of college students were baptized. I mean, hundreds and hundreds. It grew from when we started, maybe, 125 people in the whole church, counting the students. When we left, there was well over 1,000 or 1,500 people in the church. And most of those were college students. So it'd be very easy for me to say those were the days. That was the great time. Man, we baptized people all over the place. It was just, everything was happening. And then we all went out to try to work in churches of Christ around, you know, the world, around the United States. And then we all got fired from our jobs because we were messing up with what was their normal. So the normal people they pushed us away. And eventually it became called the International Churches of Christ. But guess what? Nothing is perfect. You can't keep doing the same things. And so if you look back and say, well, those were the good days, I wish I was like that, you're in big trouble.
Yep.
You're in big trouble because you didn't know your right arm from your left arm then. And even today, you really don't know what you need to still learn. And so tomorrow has to be better than it is today. No matter how old we are, right? No matter how old we are, there's some old people here. You know, I can see you. I got you. God's not done.
That's right.
Isn't that great? You can be different. You can keep on changing. And that's what God wants us to do. And our lives don't need to be pretty and neat and everything flows exactly right. It just doesn't happen that way. So if you wish it's going to be that way, sorry, let me just tell you, it ain't going to be that way. It's messy. You'll spill your coffee of life and you have to clean it up. The food falls off the table of your life and you have to go clean it up. You wish you could have bought this and it was out of stock. You couldn't buy it. Well, you've got to go find another place to buy it. Your life has to keep changing. And I think that's part of what has happened with Mary and me is we just want another adventure. We just want to, you know, hey, what the? And one of the things that just happened, we decided we're going to move back to the United States in January. And then we talked to Nadine Templer. Mary saw an advertisement that says, well, we need help in Kathmandu, Nepal. Now, are you guys all ready to go to Kathmandu? Everybody ready to go? There's not too many people raising up your hand unless you want to climb Mount Everest. So we said, okay, well, we're free agents. We can just go wherever we want. So instead of going straight back to the United States, let's go to Nepal. And so we're going to go to Nepal for 3 months and help this school there. It's a Hope Worldwide school and help with that. And then we'll go back to the United States. That wasn't on our radar. We didn't know we were going to do that. But now that's what we're going to do. So many of us, what happens in our life is I've got my plan and this is what I want to do. And we don't listen to the voice of God. We don't let him guide us. Are you willing to say yes that something is that seems so stupid or radical or out of the box? We need to learn to say yes to some of those kinds of things. And I love this passage in 2 Corinthians 5 because it talks about letting yourself die and God being your life. And we've got to just let him make us over again and again and again. And being a Christian does not mean that we attend a service like this. You don't have to be in this service to be a Christian. And being in this service doesn't mean you're a Christian. Or going to the midweek, doing the events that we do. These are activities, but your Christianity has to be in here. It's got to be your choice. we're kind of pack kind of animals. We run with the herd. You know, the herd's out in the savannah. Probably kangaroos are like this. One starts going, and all the rest of them go. One of them gets spooked, and they all go. We're kind of like that. We want to follow it. But what if everybody's going the wrong way? What are you gonna do?
Come on.
Can you make a decision to be the only one that's going to be righteous? The only one that's going to speak up for justice or for the poor? What, will you stand out in the crowd and everybody go, Hector, sit down. Dan, sit down. Everybody wants me to sit down. But you have to be the one that goes ahead and says, I'm going to do what's righteous. I want to be what God is telling me to do. Truly living for Jesus means you reinvent yourself over and over again. So I've got three really short points because there's lots of things that Mary and I have learned. But we've learned the hard way. And the first point is that your failures in life need to make you into a new person. We all have failures. It makes us stronger if we let it. So there's this passage in 2 Corinthians 12. And these chapters in 2 Corinthians, it's my favorite book because Paul is very real. He's dealing with a dysfunctional church. The Corinth church was really kind of messed up. And there was people that didn't like Paul and all of this. And he's defending himself. And I love the way he does that. But in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, just the kind of a summary of this, he says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. You go, Paul, you are crazy. What is wrong with you? I want my life to be nice and easy. I mean, we've all got nice homes. We've all got cars that brought us here to this meeting today. We have nice clothes on. We all had breakfast today. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, you know, I don't have to compete with you guys. He's telling the Corinthians, because I have actually been beaten more times than you. I've been stoned more times than you. I have nearly died more times than you. What kind of list is that? We don't have lists like that. I've been beat up more times than you. Pretty good job, right? The perspective is he wasn't getting beat up because he was a bad man. He was being beat up because he was a good man. And he put himself in situations that actually made other people angry. And it made the non-Christians angry, and it actually made people who were sometimes wanting to be Christians, it made them angry because he stood for God. And so his perspective was, my weaknesses, the things that I get beat up about, well, I just have to rely on God. It makes me stronger. I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on my body. I can't rely on how well I feel. I can't rely on whether I'm healthy because I keep getting beat up. I can't rely on all of that. But all of that makes me have to trust in God more. So it flips around the way you look on things. Most of our time, our energy goes to, I want to have more comfort and less hassle. I don't want it to be inconvenient. And in modern society, everybody wants everything to be convenient. Now you go to Papua New Guinea and probably nothing's convenient. Nothing's convenient. You go to places in India, nothing's convenient. Many places in China, nothing is convenient. Now if you go to Guangzhou, everything is right there. You go to the big cities, it's all there. There's so many people in this world, they just don't have it all at their fingertips. But we, all of us, every one of us, has everything at our fingertips. You can just go and get it. And that's a drug. It's a drug, and it intoxicates us. to where we don't want any more pain. We don't want to have to put ourselves out. We don't want to have to actually even deal with real poor people because they're dirty or they're actually criminals or whatever it may be. We just don't want to mess with all of that. And I think what Paul wants us to be is to change that, is to go ahead and run toward the danger. Run toward the chaos. Head toward the difficult parts of life. And let yourself learn lessons and being taught by people who have much, much less than you. They don't have their life together as much as you do. And they don't have the money or the resources that you do. Let them teach you the lessons of how have they survived in their life. And you can take on that kind of characteristic of Jesus. Jesus is so amazing because he was the king of the universe, but he did not come to earth as the king of the earth in a king type of way. He didn't have all the comforts. He walked around with these fishermen. He lowered himself to be more like us. And our weaknesses have to change us. And Mary and I have gone through a lot of this. Mary, why don't you come up and share just a couple of our stories. There's 8,000 stories of how we've messed up. I've told Mary to never not say more of about 1,000. Okay, so not so much.
Hello, Mary. Hi, it's great to meet all of you. It's so warm and loving here. It's a real pleasure to be with you. Thank you. But if you want an idea of our lives and the kinds of things we've lived through and learned from, I can start so far back. I won't bore you with all of that. But one thought that came to my mind were some times in my life when I had some relationship problems. I'm sure none of you have ever had relationship problems. And I thought, this is the end. This is the end of the world. I don't know what to do, how to handle this. I've never tried so hard in my life and had it go so badly. And I could have gotten stuck because even in trying to resolve it, it sort of didn't go away. Mm-hmm. And I was forced by God, I believe, in a situation where I needed to decide, I'm going to trust God with this, because if I don't, I'll never move forward. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get stuck here, and I'm going to be here in this place mentally and emotionally for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so I learned, it took time, but I began to realize my part in the problem. Mm-hmm. First, I didn't see it, but by giving it to God, that was something I began to learn. Yay. Problems with my kids. That was so eye-opening. We were trying. We were doing the best we could. We loved them. As kids, you know, when they're young, the devotionals, bringing them to church, everything. Made a lot of rules. Tried to not make a lot of rules. We just back and forth. Do all of this. Didn't quite know what to do. And it didn't go well. I mean, it really didn't go well. Our daughter is just a doll, and she made it through anyway, but our sons, they didn't do well. And it broke my heart. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Yeah. It absolutely broke my heart. I remember being on the metro one day, headed to work, and crying out to God. It's just, you know, I don't know how to go forward. And I started in Psalms and landed on Psalm 27, where it said, that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And somehow in my heart, that was what I needed to hear. Only because God put it in my heart that was what I needed to hear. And within a few days, our oldest son had an accident on a motorcycle with a van where the motorcycle went under the van, but he didn't. And even when the social worker called from the hospital and told us to come, in my heart of hearts, I knew that he wasn't going to die because God had given me that scripture. And it took a long time to resolve. And t- Time passed, and I learned I was a terrible Pharisee. And that was what I needed to learn through that. And the lessons were hard. And had I not lived through that, I wouldn't have gotten to where I needed to see who I was, who I am in my heart of hearts. And he is with God now. He loves God. He has a wife and two kids. But I wouldn't wish that pain on anyone. But God works through it. God works through it. We were in Santiago, Chile, and things were kind of funny with my eye. And I went to the doctor, and I found out that I had a very large tumor in my eye. And within a very short time, it needed to be removed because it was cancer. It was malignant melanoma. If anybody knows about that, that's a bad cancer. And I remember talking to some sisters, and they're like, they were just horrified. This cancer, what are you going to do? And they were just, they were in a panic. And I was simply thinking, I need to learn something. What is it?
Yeah.
What is it I'm going to need to learn from this? And so we go forward. You have your surgery, you move ahead, and you see, okay, where am I going from there? Well, from Santiago, we went to Florida, and now we're in China, and then we're going to Nepal, and we're going back to Florida, and we even got to come to Melbourne. I can't see on this side, but, you know, life goes on.
Yeah, this eye over here, it doesn't see you. I'm sorry, it doesn't see you. She only sees from this side.
Anyway, you go on, and you learn more lessons, and you learn things. And let me just close with this. It's been great. You know why? Because I have to rely on Dan more. You know, and a wicked weed was growing up in my heart where I didn't really want to rely on him. But look what I got. I got an opportunity to learn how. And why? And he looks after me, and he takes care of me, and he helps me. And I've learned I am just a prideful dog, and I need things like this in my life to be able to see life and see my relationships differently. Mm-hmm. So if you live through it, you come out differently, and I thank God for that.
I really like that girl.
She's so awesome. If you want to come up and go tink, tink, tink on her eye, she can't even feel it, you know. You got to take these things in strides, you know. So let me just end this point. You've got to let things make you stronger. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't have a pity party for yourself. Just keep on moving and even look for those things in your life that you're failing at so that then you can have victories on about those kinds of things. We get even oblivious of our own failures, but we fail all the time, especially in relationships, especially with our children and ways we hurt each other. Not just admit it all. And then you can grow and be something different. My second point is totally different. And we've been learning these lessons for a long time now. And this is called unconditional kindness. And unconditional kindness is an incredibly hard concept to grab hold of. Anything that's unconditional means that there's no, like, well, only if I'll do that if only if this happens first. Okay, that's conditional. And our salvation, obviously, is conditional. We need to follow Jesus. We need to love Jesus. But kindness in the Bible is very, very different. And Jesus' kindness, what we can see there is it was completely unconditional. And that, you know, we started to figure out some of this when we moved to India. We moved to India in 1986. This was in our ICOC. This was the first church planting to a third world country. And we had a mission team that was the craziest mix that you can imagine. You know, you think you're going to do something that's the craziest thing in the world, and you'd send a bunch of 20 years olds and get out there and just go evangelize all day long. We had, 12 people in the team, and everybody was married except for a couple of the people, and there was 9 children on the team. We took a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old to Bombay, India in 1986. There was no commerce with the United States. It was very, very harsh, and the poor people were absolutely everywhere. And I don't know if anybody's been to India, but those of you that have been to India, you can understand in one of these big cities, you cannot get away from the poor people. And we just didn't really know what to do. Coming from America, we had never really seen anything like this. It was absolutely overwhelming. The church made it. We made it. People got baptized. But we still had to figure out, okay, what do we do with all these poor people? You go in a taxi, and at every time this taxi slows down, those of you that have been to India understand this, they'll be on your window knocking like this, wanting money, wanting something. You cannot even turn to the right or the left and not see the poor people. And we finally realized, okay, we got to pick one. We've got to find one. We've got to be able to help this individual. And we found a family that was living on the sidewalk with a couple children. We have many different families like that. But we picked one, and we gave them some nice things, and we helped them to be more mobile and so on and so forth. But we have to learn this passage that is in Isaiah 58. Those of you that have read Isaiah 58, it's incredibly challenging. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's about God's mentality. And we have to take on God's mentality. I understand our Western mentality. There's an Eastern mentality. There's an Orient. There's an Asian mentality. We need God's. In verse 6 through 10, and so it's a long one, but I want to read it because I'm even cutting out some good verses, but is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. I mean, just look at your own life. You know, where do we go with that passage? And obviously, Mary and I have been part of Hope Worldwide for a long time and served with Hope Worldwide. Mark and Vicki have made that their whole life endeavor is working for Hope Worldwide, and there are projects that can be done. There's places you can go and things you can do, and you can even give your money to Hope Worldwide. But there's a little bit of a catch to all of that, because it's easy to pay Mark and Vicki to help the poor. But Jesus' question is, but what are you doing to touch the poor? And not in Papua New Guinea, here in Melbourne. What are you doing to people who have less than you? Who are you helping who has a broken heart, who is just devastated by alcohol or what it doesn't matter what it is. Read back over that verse, and it just says, this is the way God is going to bless you, because you help other people. Now, when Mary and I moved to China, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were going to do. We can't lead a church there. I mean, we're just kind of on our own. So we said, okay, we need to find some homeless people. We live right in the middle of a 20 million person city, right in the middle. And we said, there's got to be homeless people here. There's people. So we started asking our Chinese friends, so where are the homeless people? There's no homeless people here. We don't have homeless people here. The homeless people are over there, but not here. I said, there's got to be homeless people around here. There's poor people. You can't have this many population without having people who missed out. They just didn't make it. They didn't get into the regular system, so they're left behind. And the way we actually found it is because I started taking long prayer walks at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it was still dark. Everything was dark. You couldn't. And I'm the kind of guy that walks on the backside of a dark building, you know, going down the places where nobody else actually. I just walk down there. Hey, let me see what's down there. And so finally, I walked down a tunnel underground, and there were seven homeless people that were there. And I came back home and said, Mary, I found some homeless. It was great. So we realized, okay, they are here. So now I just have to walk a little bit more. And so I just kept on walking, and I kept finding more here and more over there and more here. And so for the last 2 years, we've been serving about 95 men who are homeless every single morning between 5:45 and 7 o'clock in the morning. And usually, it's only Mary and me going. We go when it rains. We go when there was a typhoon. We go when it's cold, and we go when it's hot. We found a vendor who would make the meals for us, just a cart, a meal cart. And we've actually doubled the income of that vendor. We give him probably $1,500 a month increased income. But, you know, so many people, even in China, keep asking me, well, so how many people have you converted? How do they respond? Can you get them better? Did you get them jobs? Did you do this? And it helped me to understand that we can all speak a word of Chinese. I can say jiao cheng hao, which means good morning, you know, so I good morning. But we can't speak to them. So what do? You're feeding 95 people every single day, 7 days a week, and I can't talk to them. Then I realized, okay, kindness is a virtue all by itself. It's right just because you're doing it. And they don't have to earn it. Here's the scenario. Well, I'll give you a meal if you'll smile and say thank you. You understand where I'm going with that? You see, because I want that feedback. But what if the guy goes, would you give him a meal? He doesn't have breakfast that morning. They don't have anything to eat. But would you still give it to him? If a guy's drunk, you say, well, okay. If he gets sober, I'll give him a meal. So we had to deal with all of this, all different kinds of people. And we finally came up with this, okay. How many of us want to breathe today? Do you want to breathe the air today? You want to do that? Teenagers, do you want to breathe today? Okay, you know, try to hold your breath for as long as you can, and then you'll say, yeah, I want to breathe. Now, did you earn that? God gave you that air unconditionally.
Amen.
Who's keeping your heart beating right now? Did you earn that? Are you making your heart beat? No, God is keeping your heart beating, and no matter how evil and horrible you are, God is still letting you live. He's keeping you alive, and if God stopped keeping you alive, you would be dead. And you can't earn that. It's unconditional. And I go, well, okay, I need to be unconditionally kind to these people. And it's revolutionary. I mean, we've been doing things for a lot of years, but it's the first time we really thought, okay, let me not judge these people. Let me just be nice to them. Let me be a friend. So after you do this day after day for 2 years, we have homeless people that come up to us while we're walking in the daytime, we're walking downtown, and And we shake hands with all these people that are messy and everything. People know, how do you know all these people? Well, he's one of the homeless guys. If you saw him on the street, you wouldn't know he was homeless. They looked like just everybody else. You wouldn't even know they were homeless. But they know us. And they know that we're consistent. It's not, you know how you do things? Wow, that was great. That was great. Okay, now let me go to this. And then let me go to this. We're fickle. We do things for just a little while, and then that we get bored and we go do something else. But what about the people you were helping? And they go, hey, where did he go? What happened to him? Here's my challenge. You've got to look back to Isaiah 58 and say, what am I doing with my life? Because God has given me so much. So what really am I doing with my life to find people who just need me? They need me. And people do need you. They need you to teach them the Bible. But that's not the only thing they need. They need help. When do I have to be off of this? At 12. Like, I'm done. Wrap up! I hate doing this. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, we're not going to be able to sing a song today, are we? We're not going to be able to sing a song. Okay. My third point is we need to walk with God. And part of that is just goes with these other things, is that we walk and we pray all the time. And I have learned how to actually let God be my friend. That God is part of my conversation through the day. And God wants it to be that way. God loves us and he wants us to be part of him. And I was going to have us sing a song. What was the name of that song? My God and I. And there's a passage in Genesis 3. You know, Genesis 3 tells the destruction, you know, the loss of the Garden of Eden and how bad Adam and Eve were. They made such bad decisions. But before that actually gets into that part, it says they heard God as he was walking along in the garden. So what's the drama before the sin? Chapter 3 there, it's going to tell us about the sin. But what's cool to me to think about, yeah, but what about the days all before that? They were in the garden walking with God. Walking, talking, singing. They were walking with God. And I thought, man, I really want to walk with God. I mean, literally walk with God. That he's here. I don't see his form, but he's here. He's here with us. And I challenge all of us not to just say the kind of prayers that everybody else says. Say the words that you said yesterday. The same phrase that you said yesterday. We praying has become mechanical for so many people. But that you don't do that with your friends. What if you talked like your prayers to your friends? Think about that. Think about it. Remember how you just prayed, you know. If you talk to your friends like that, go, what's wrong with you, man? What's happened to you? So we just keep practicing. We keep praying together and with other people and as we walk along. It's a continual conversation with God. And that's where we need to be to actually make things happen. And if you ever want to sing with that song, the sing is great, that we walk and talk with God. That's what it's all about. Well, I could go on and on, but I'm not supposed to. So thank you guys. Bye-bye.